Let's look. 1 Kings chapter 18, preaching on Elijah today. Look in verse 21. And the Bible said, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. And then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. And then let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under, and I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose ye one bullock for yourselves, and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awakened. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after the manner with knives and lancets, till the blood gushed upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice, nor any answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as could contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood, and said, fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. Now remember, there's no fire yet. And Elijah said, pour it on the what? On the burnt sacrifice. As if it's already happened. And he said, do it the second time, and they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time, and they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the evening, at the offering of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. You can be seated this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you again and that for just a wonderful opportunity to be in your house. We're certainly thankful that you do take care of us. Lord, we don't know what to do, but you certainly do, and we're thankful for that. And Lord, there's folks sitting here today that need something from you. Maybe it's somebody that's lost, that's never come to know you as their Savior and the free pardon of sin. We just want them to get saved. I know you do, for you said that you want all people to come and that to the saving knowledge of the truth at your will this morning. Lord, we pray for somebody here that's struggling, whatever it may be. Maybe it's somebody that's struggling in sin. Help them with that. Maybe there's somebody in that just needs some assurance of some things, or maybe they need direction, and I pray that direction will be found in you today. But Lord, we certainly do need a touch from you. We need you to come by and anoint us afresh today, and that from heaven. Lord, I believe this to be the message for the hour, and I pray that you'd help us preach now, for we certainly certainly needs you, and we love you, and we thank you, and that for all that you've done, and thank you for lifting us out of that miry pit of sin and saving us when we was unworthy. Save somebody today, Lord, and that sinner's nurse tale, save them, and we'll give you and that the glory and the wonderful, wonderful name of Jesus. We do pray. Amen and amen. If you know anything about your Bible, you know that this is a time when it's not rained in the nation of Israel for 3.5 years. You go back a few chapters, you'll find out that Israel is in the midst of sin. They're worshiping idols. King Ahab, the Bible tells us back in chapter 16, as if it was a light thing for him to be in all that sin that he was in, that he married Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, the king of the Zidonians over there, and she was a Baal worshiper. And she brought Baal. I believe there was probably already idol worship there. We understand that with King Jeroboam. But I believe she's brought Baal worship in, or brought it back in again. And Israel in the 3.5, or in this time period, begins to worship Baal. And they have forsaken the Lord. As a matter of fact, if you go back in the prior chapter of 18, Elijah's been hiding. He's been hiding out. He's been up in Zarephath. He's been down by the brook Cherith. And finally he comes and appears to King Ahab. And when Ahab meets him, he makes this statement over here in verse 17. He said, "Art thou he that troubleth Israel?" It's kind of like the time that Paul told the church at Galatia. He said, "Have I become ye enemy because I tell you the truth?" They counted in that Elijah as their enemy. They counted the preacher as the one that was causing all the problems and all the issues that the nation of Israel was having. It ain't rained. They were about to starve to death. The animals needed something to drink. And finally, Elijah tells him in the next verse, he said, "I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Baal." And so we see the issue at hand. We find that they have forsaken God. Listen, our nation forsook God a long time ago. You're not going to find help out of Washington. You're not going to find help, friend, in any other place except out of the Word of God and by God Himself. Listen, you know what our nation needs? To repent. Amen. You know what you may need to do today? Repent. There's a lot of folk in that wanting to have religion and wanting to have some kind of church affiliation. It's kind of like them women over there in the book of Isaiah chapter 4 when they said, "Let us join ourselves unto thee, and we'll take your name, that we can take away our reproach, but we'll wear our own apparel and eat our own bread, and we'll do our own thing, but we'll be called by your name to take away our reproach." Listen, there's a lot of folk doing that today. They got a name on the roll somewhere. They're trying to live good and do good, but sin still just seems to be rampant in their life. I understand we're all sinners. I don't know how we got here, thank good. Sin still just seems to be just overtaking their life. Hey, I'm going to tell you, some people I just need to get saved, and others just need to sell out and that to the Lord. Amen. Hey, listen, I don't know what your problem is this morning. You say, "I ain't got a problem." Good. I'm glad you ain't got a problem. You're one of the very few. Amen. But listen today, let me get back to the message here. Listen, Israel had been given over in that to idol worship and to Baal worship. And so God had shut the rain off. Elijah went and seen King Ahab. He said, "It ain't going to rain till I tell you it's going to rain." And so finally, 3.5 years later, he shows up and comes back. And you find that they're about to have a contest. And he comes in verse 21 and he asks them a question. How long halt you between two opinions? If God be God, follow him. If Baal be God, follow him. But here's what we're going to do. We're going to have a contest. They really put on the show. If there was anybody religious, it was these people right here.
Can you imagine? He said there's 450 prophets and that of Baal. And boy, they're out there dancing around. They're carrying on. They're having a time. They're leaping up on the altar. They're crying out for Baal to show up. They're wanting him to do something. They cut themselves with lancets and knives till the blood runs out. And yet the Bible said right here, what part? He said what? He said there was none that answered. Neither had voice nor any that regarded. Nobody showed up. But listen, they were putting on the show, and Elijah even makes fun of them. He said, if he's a God, why ain't he answering? Now, if you know anything about the Lord God in heaven, you know he's going to answer after a while. But I want you to look this morning at what happens. What happens is the very fact that God answered, and the Bible said in verse 38 that the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And I want to preach for just a little while on what Elijah done to bring the power of God. What did he do to get the power of God? What did he do to get God and that to move? What happened right here? I ask myself that question a lot of times. What can we do, or how can we live, or what is needed, I guess you might say, to see God move and get him? And there's a lot of folks scared to see God move. We've seen him move. I've watched him move. We looked at that this morning in Sunday school. Brother Jeff was talking about that, I believe, in John chapter 3 and verse 8, where he talks about the Spirit. How the Spirit is like the wind. He said, the wind bloweth where it listeth. Listen, you can't see it, but you can see the effects of it. You can watch it blow in the trees. You can hear it. But friend, you can't even reach out there and get a hold of it. But it does move on you, don't it? So what needs to happen in our life to see God move? I'm not saying that we need to see God move and let the fire fall all the time, but I'm going to be honest with you, I sure do like it when he comes by and we do see it. Sometimes we just need him to come by like he does with Elijah in a few more chapters over here in the next chapter, where he speaks to us in that still small voice and where we know it's just him. But right here, he's making a point of who he is. We'll look at a few things and we'll preach and go home. But listen, number one, first of all, there had to be a consideration. I want you to look in verse 21. He comes to the people and he says, how long halt ye between two opinions? He says, I want you to look at what you're doing. I want you to look at the situation that you're in. He said, if God be God, then serve him. If Baal be God, I serve him. But we can't stand here and be on the fence and try to play both sides and get anything to happen. Listen, there's a lot of folk that are trying to be in church and trying to be in the world and trying to get God to move when they're wanting to be in the world. At the same, hey, listen, I know we got to live in the world, but we're not of the world. We're just sojourning through, and we're to be different than the world, than anything else. Hey, listen, he said, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. But he said, how long halt ye between two opinions? I want you to consider the situation that you're in. I want you to look at your life. Have you ever just took a deep look at you? Now, I ain't going to be a psychiatrist or a psychologist and all those things, but have you ever just took a deep look at you? That's a little scary sometimes. Amen. I'm not that deep, so when you start digging, it's there pretty quick. Amen. But he said, consider some things. Is that not what he told him over there in the book of Haggai, chapter 1, I believe it was? God told him, he said, look, you're dwelling in sealed houses. You've got all these things. And he said, my house lays over here. It ain't been finished. It ain't been done. The work that you need to be doing, you're not doing. But the work that really don't matter, that's what you're doing. He said, consider your ways. In other words, think about them. Look at them. And see what's going on. Hey, you want to know the very first thing we're going to have to do in trying or seeing God move? We're going to have to consider our ways. We're going to have to consider, is God happy with me? Is God happy with you? That's a big question, ain't it? If you really ask that question. And you really answer that question. I mean, is God happy? I mean, how do I tell if God's happy with me? Well, we put ourselves up and that against the Word of God. We don't judge ourselves against somebody else. We don't judge ourselves against some of the crowd. Although I like to look at Christians that are serving the Lord and say, boy, I'd like to be like them. A lot of people wants to look at the hypocrites that are in the church and say, well, I'm better than them. You know, we do have hypocrites in the church. We all get a little hypocritical sometimes if we ain't careful. Say amen right there. As you know, that's true to this morning. But listen. Listen, they had forsaken the Lord and chased after Baal and was trying to serve both sides at the same time. If you'd let me say that, Bible said, I believe it was at one point in the book of Matthew, no man can serve two masters. He'll either love one and hate the other, cleave to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Listen, you've got to choose what sides you're going to be on. You've got to consider some things. You've got to look at some things. Listen, all Elijah wanted them to do was see what God was capable of doing. He wanted them to remember who God was. He wanted them to think back to what God had done for them. He wanted them to know, listen, God was a God that had moved. God was a God that, I mean, He brought them up out of the land of Egypt. He had moved across the Red Sea. He had brought them into the land of Canaan and fought for them and done great miracles for them. He fed them with manna, let their shoes stretch and grow while they were in the wilderness. Listen, the quails fell out of heaven and God moved and done great things even in the land of Canaan. And yet somehow, they had forgot all this. David makes a statement in Psalms chapter 63. He said, oh God, thou art my God. Can we say that? He said, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Let me ask you this. Have you ever just got a little dry? You ever got dry? Now, I'm not talking about sin. All right? I've dealt with sin. Listen, if you've got sin in your life and you're trying to play both sides of the fence and you're trying to live in the world and I mean, do worldly things, go to worldly places, sing worldly songs, listen to worldly music and watch worldly things on TV, listen, you're going to have a problem trying to serve God. Amen? No man can serve two masters. That stuff bothers me when I watch something wrong or hear something wrong. You know, sometimes you just hear something wrong, ain't it? You didn't even mean to hear it. You might have been around somewhere. Listen, that was okay to me, but yet somebody said something they shouldn't have said. That bothers my heart, friend. And listen, I'm not better than you are. I'm not more spiritual than you are. Listen, it ought to bother you too. Amen. The Holy Spirit ought to speak up in your life and say, listen, you don't need to be like that over there. But then David had come to a place, He said, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. They were physically in a dry and thirsty land, but spiritually, David was in a place where he just wanted to see God. You ever got to a place where you just wanted to see God move? You got thirsty and you got dry. Listen, not anything really that you've done wrong. I mean, it's just being, as I've told you many times, not only is church up and down, and we go through seasons at church, but you know what? You go through seasons in your life. Life just seems to be up and down, don't it? Life just seems to be, gets a little out of our hands sometimes, and we can't bring it in, and then we need to look at it and say, Lord, you know, I'm awful dry right now. What's happened? And you know what, I'll be honest with you, when you begin to look at you, and I have to look at me all the time and say, Lord, what's going on? What's going on? Why do I feel like this? Why am I like this? You know, there's times that, friend, we're just going to get in a valley. Listen, we all like to be on the mountaintop. We all like to shout it out. We all like to just feel good about things. But I'm going to be honest with you, there's times that we're going to be in the valley. It's going to be out of our control. But there will be somebody there to help us. And I get in the valley and I will say, Lord, I just want to come to a place to where I can just shout it out. I'm getting a little off track here this morning, but listen, when you get there, you just keep serving the Lord. It's what you do. You just keep being faithful. You just keep doing what you know to do is right, and you keep on serving Him. But He wanted them to consider their ways. He wanted them to look at what was going on. He wanted them to look at the situation that was going on around them. Number two, not only was there a consideration, but if you look in verse 30, there was a reparation. What did he do? The Bible said he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Now he's let them have their contest. He's let them put on a show. But it's getting close in that time for the evening sacrifice. And the Bible said right here that he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Reckon how it got broken down. Reckon how the altar of the Lord came to that place. The Bible tells us in the very next chapter, he's over there talking to the Lord, and Elijah, he's honest with God. And by the way, you might as well be honest with God. He already knows. A lot of us think we're going to tell something to God and we're going to shock him. Elijah said, Lord, you know I've been jealous for you and over you. Didn't shock God. He knew how Elijah was. But he said, Lord, they have done what? You look over in chapter 19, and he says this over. Let me see if I can find it over here. He said, and I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel, I've forsaken thy covenants, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. I wonder if this was one of the altars that they had thrown down. Or had it just become in disrepair because of neglect? You know what it means to neglect something, don't you? It means to just let it go by carelessness. You ever neglected anything? Do you know if you own a house and you neglect it, it'll start to fall down around you if you ain't careful. Amen. I know. I bet we built our house. It's amazing. We built our house 17 years ago. Don't seem like our house ought to be that old. But we built that thing 17 years ago, and it's beginning to need some help. And I have neglected some things along the way. And it'd have been a whole lot. You know, if you neglect something that by the time you have to fix it, a lot of times it's in worse shape than what it would have been if you'd have just dealt with it to start with. Let me give you an example. We have trees all over our yard. And them things love to get in my gutter. And I dearly hate to clean out gutters. I hate it. Hate it with a passion. And you know what happens if you don't clean your gutters out? Well, the water will run down in it and run over it. It will. But you know what else will happen with it? It'll run back up your roof. I have a metal roof. And so that water will fill up in that gutter, and then it'll begin to run back up that roof. And you know what water does to wood over a period of time? They won't guess. Rots it, don't it? So you know what I began to do when I was cleaning out my gutters this last go around? I began to inspect that portion of the roof while I was going down through there. And you know what I found? Rot. So you know what I'm eventually going to have to do? I'm eventually going to have to lift that metal up, cut all that rot out, and put in a new piece of wood. Why? Neglect. If I wouldn't have neglected them gutters, then my roof wouldn't probably be in the shape that it's in. You know what began to happen right here? I really believe that Israel and that began to neglect the altar of God. Listen, and it caused other problems. Listen, they began to neglect their altar. Listen, where they went and performed the sacrifice, where they and that met with God this morning. Let me ask us the question, how many of us are neglecting our altar? How about our prayer altar? Our altar of prayer. How many of us pray like we should? How many of us pray like we once did? You may still pray like you always have. That's great. You keep on doing it. Some of you need to start. Some of you need to get restarted. I listen in praying and doing what God would have you to do. And just pray and seek Him. I'm going to tell you, until we repair the altar and that of prayer and spirit, that there's one thing that I understand about old times. I've read messages from men of days gone by, listened to testimonies of folk that's got 50 and 60 and 70 years on me. And there was one thing that those men and ladies I knew about God, and that was they knew how to pray. Their doctrine might have been wrong. You know what? I have talked to people that love God, and I believe God touches them, and God uses them. But man, their doctrine ain't right. As independent Baptists, we get so bent out of shape sometimes. And I believe in being right. You're looking at the fact, ask my wife, I love to be right. I want to be right. And I'm not going to forsake being right just so that I can get close to God, because I think I can be right and still get close to God. But them old timers, and the Bible teaches us right here that if we would learn to pray, our altar of prayer. When's the last time you just put anything? I'm not talking about this one. We call this a mourner's bench, or we call it an altar. When we ordered it, it was called a narthex bench. I don't even know what narthex means, but that's what it's called. And like I say, we call it a mourner's bench. But listen, this is where we come and pray. And this is where we leave things. Folk come and get saved. This is where they come, you know, Simon, and get down and ask God to save them. And just make them fit and that for heaven. I remember when I got saved, I went to the altar and got saved. But you don't have to come to the altar at church to get saved. Wherever you bow your head and bow your heart, that's the altar. Let me ask you something. How about at home? Do you have an altar of prayer at home? To where you just stop and you just take time to pray? You know, it was at the altar where they met with God. See, I mean, He meets with us now in our heart. But listen, that's where God met with a man, was at that altar. What about at our altar of prayer? How much do we pray? I'm going to get ahead of myself right here. But if you notice, at the time of the evening sacrifice, He trenched that thing and then He drenched it. When's the last time that we come to the altar and we drenched the altar? When's the last time we got on the altar and wept and cried? I got to thinking about that while I was studying this. It's been a long time since I just got on the altar and cried. And just, I mean, was sorry for some things maybe that I'd done or said. Come and beg God to save somebody. Ask God to help somebody. Lord, they're in bad shape. And they're going to, if you don't help, it's going to be a mess. If you don't show up, Lord, if they don't get saved, they're going to die and go to hell. When's the last time that we can shed tears over a sinner? I'm talking about getting God to move. That's what I'm talking about. There's got to be a consideration of our ways, but there must be a reparation that we must repair in that. Not only the altar, but our prayer altar, but then our altar of prayer, but then what about our sacrificial altar? You know, that is what was on the altar was a sacrifice, wasn't it? That was to give to the Lord. When's the last time that thing we were holding on to that was hindering us from serving God, whether it was pride? You know, pride's a big one for me, I'll be honest with you. To admit when I was wrong, I'm not very wrong. Let me rephrase that. I'm not wrong very much. I was waiting on my wife over there to say amen. But I struggle saying I'm wrong sometimes. You ever struggle with that? And I'm talking about in our spiritual life. I can let that thing build up. And you know what? If we don't, I'm talking about reparation, about repairing some things. You know, we may have to go fix some things between us and some other people. May have to do that. Be right with God, that may be what it takes. Is fixing some things between us and somebody else. There was a reparation. Let me get back to this. The altar of sacrifice. You know, He said over in the book of Romans chapter 12, He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a what? A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Repair the altar of sacrifice to where we say, Lord, do you want this in my life? Is this a good thing for me to have? right here. What about time we spend? You know, the Lord understands that you're raising a family. The Lord understands you have to work a job. The Lord understands that you probably even have hobbies that you'd like to go do. He understands all those things. But how much time do we spend for Him? How much time do we spend in prayer? How much time do we go on visitation? How much time do we go witnessing? How much time do we spend in just... You know, I listened to a message the other day from a preacher friend of mine, and he was just simply preaching about doing something good for somebody else. He says, I'm not talking about going and giving them a tract. I'm not even talking about inviting them to church. When you have the opportunity to do somebody good, do we do somebody good? When's the last time we've done that? See, I'm notorious that somewhere along the way I want to work in a tract somewhere. But you know, sometimes that's not needed. Sometimes you being there and showing the love of the Lord Jesus Christ out of your heart will do more good than anything. They'll see there's something different about you. Let me move on here. Am I doing okay? Okay. All right. Just making sure. So look what they done. Elijah rebuilt the altar. What about our altar of praise? When's the last time you praised Him? A preacher, you know, I'm backward and shy. Let me ask you this. When's the last time that you ever got alone, got on your prayer altar and praised the Lord? When's the last time that you ever just was in your home or going down the road and just said, Lord, I want to thank You. I want to praise You and that for everything that You've done. I ain't talking about nobody else being around. I'm talking about when you praised Him when nobody else could see you. I'm talking about praising Him when nobody else and that knew what you were up to. But out of your heart, you wanted to praise the Lord. When's the last time you done that? When's the last time you got around people and praised the Lord? I'm going to tell you. You say, well, the Lord, well, of course He wants you to do that. Hey, I mean, go over and read Psalms. Go to Psalms 100. Go to Psalms 100 this morning. Y'all ought to know this. Psalms 100. Look what He says. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye the Lord, He is God. It is He that made us, hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth all generations. When you come to worship, you come to praise also. Praise Him. Praise Him. Say, I want to praise the Lord. We'll thank God. We want to praise Him for everything that He's done. We get out in the choir. We sing. We sing praises. We sing congregational hymn this morning. We sing praises unto Him. I like that old song out of the Redback book. Praise Him. Praise Him. Tell of His excellent greatness. Amen. Hey, I love that old song in there that we sing. I mean, I'm just talking about some old hymns right now. I listen that Jesus saves. Jesus saves. You're talking about praising Him. I mean, it praises Him for what He done, for who He is. I love them songs that we sung this morning. He lifted me out. Amen. He done the lifting. If you go over to Psalms chapter 40, David said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and lifted me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my God. And in verse 3, he said, and put a new song in my mouth. It's Him. What was it? Page 7, page 11? I am blessed. It was praise to Him. I'm blessed because of Him. When's the last time we rebuild our altar of praise, or where we would come and sacrifice our praise on that for Him this morning? There was a reparation. Now I'm talking about how to get God to move. There has to be a consideration. Then there has to be a reparation of what has broke down in our life. Some of you used to be closer to the Lord than you are now. You need to fix that. So he done what? Verse 31, and Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he puts the wood on it. He puts the sacrifice on it. He fills four barrels, the Bible says right here. And he dumps them three times. That's 12 barrels of water. After they dug the trench. They dug the trench. They got all this, the altar built. They got the wood laid out. They got the sacrifice on top of it. Then to get God to move, there had to be a preparation. He had to get prepared, didn't he? He had to repair the altar, Lord, but then he had to get prepared. He had to put forth an effort, didn't he? You know what I'm guilty of a lot of times? Is if I ain't careful, I just want to come in and see God move without any preparation on my part. Not really prayed like I should have. Have I really studied like I should have? Have I went out on visitation and visited like I should? You know, I met my cousin the other day out on visitation. Didn't even know he was my cousin. And I just went out he works at a place. And as I was going out, he's the one that checked me out. And I just throwed down. I said, hey, if you don't go to church anywhere, I said, come and see us sometime. Come visit with us. We'd love to have you and your family. And so I just turned around and got ready to head out the door. And he looked up. He said, is your name Mark Latham? I said, yeah. He said, your last name Latham? I said, yeah. And so I turned around and went back over to the counter. And that always scares you when people start knowing your name. I mean, you just don't know, man. I mean, you don't know if they've heard you on the radio. And you don't know whether they like you. Whether they've heard you on the internet. You don't know whether they like you or do like you. And so he reaches in his back pocket and pulls out one of his business cards and throws it down on the counter. And his last name was Latham. You never know who you're going to run into. Come find out. We're third cousins. I said, well, you need to bring your family to church. Never know who you're liable to meet. What are we doing? Do we just come in on Sundays and just want to see God move and we don't put forth no effort at all to get ready for it? You know what's an old saying that I tell you a lot of times? We'll say a 10-cent prayer and want a $1 million answer sometimes. I know we can pray short. I know those things. My soul, look what time it is. Man, last time I looked at that thing, it was 25 till. Man, did you speed that up, Brother Jeff? I believe he did. Amen. Let me hurry. Listen, there's got to be a preparation. We need to pray. We need to seek God. We need to be about our work doing what we need to do for Him. Why would we expect God to move if we're not willing to move? Why would we expect God to be willing to do something for us if we're not willing to do anything for Him? Listen, there's got to be a preparation. He got prepared, didn't he? He went out there, he laid the sacrifice out. The sacrifice meant something. I want you to understand, listen, that was the biggest thing laying on that altar out there. That meant something to God. That's what gave its life and that for what was about to happen. Listen, when we make much to do about the sacrifice, I'm going to tell you, God will move, friend. When we make much to do about the Lord Jesus Christ and what He done at Calvary and how He shed His blood. Hey, we sung that page 3, wasn't it, in the black book this morning. It took the blood. Hey, we begin to sing about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He done for us. Hey, there's no doubt what God might do. Amen. Listen, you brag on Him and praise Him and we'll bring glory and honor to Him. I'm going to tell you every time we brag on Him, God will move. Listen, He'll move. In Luke 19:10, He said, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's what He came to do. And if you're lost, you can get saved this morning. Listen, friend, I want you to know He loved you and died for you. And you can come and get saved. But if you're saved this morning, you ought to make much to do about the Lord Jesus Christ. He ought to be a big to do in your home. He ought to be a big to-do in your life. Well, people will think that I'm nuts and crazy. And I let them think that, friend. Make much to do about Him. If we want to see God move, we're going to have to make much to do about the sacrifice. We'll have to make much to do. We're going to have to trench about that thing. And then we're going to have to do what? We're going to have to drench it. I've already preached on that. We're going to have to get some tears on the altar. Then looking. What happened right here? Verse 36, it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel and that I am thy servant and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God
and thou hast turned their heart back again. There was an exaltation. He exalted him as the Lord and who he was. You notice he never said, Lord, answer by fire. He never said, Lord, just come by our way. He never said that. That was the deal. That was in the part of the consideration, wasn't it? Knowing that if they would just do what they need to do, God was going to come by. And all Elijah got over here and done is just exalted the Lord. He said, Lord, I know that you're God. And he said, let these people know that you're God. Just know that you're God and know that I've done this at your word. When we brag on him and exalt him, verse 38, there was an illumination. Then the fire of the Lord fell. And by the way, there was an illumination physically and spiritually, wasn't there? I mean, he illuminated the place when the fire fell from heaven. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. People standing around knew that there was a God that was real. You know, as a church, we talk about God and we talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, but how real do they see it to us? Is he real? Is he real? I don't want to be one of them fellers that folks say, well, I'm just as good as he is. And, you know, there ain't no difference between him and how I'm living. Now, I want folk to see that there's somebody real on the inside of me. And listen, right here, I mean, the Lord lift a place up. The fire of the Lord fell, consumed the burnt. Now, watch what happened. Consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. You know, there was no mistaking that God had come by. No mistaking. Listen, you know, when he comes by, there's no mistaking when he comes by. And you know what? Elijah didn't ask him to do that. He just asked him to answer by fire, didn't he? You know, the Lord seems to do a little more and sometimes a lot more than what we ask sometimes when we just get in a place where we want to see him move and is willing to do something about it. When we have a consideration and a reparation, we repair things that needs to be fixed in our life. What needs to be fixed in your life? As we bow our heads across the house this morning, what needs to be fixed in your life? Is there anything that needs to be fixed? You know, you may find yourself here lost this morning. And listen, none of this really meant anything to you. But I want you to know something. You can fix that lost condition this morning by coming to the Lord Jesus. By coming to him this morning. If you'll come and trust him to be your Savior, you can fix that this morning. I want you to know that. I want you to know that he loves you and died for you, cares for you. Listen, he didn't go to Calvary just to save one. He didn't go to Calvary just to save a select few. But listen, he went to Calvary to save whosoever will. And you fit into that situation this morning if you're here and you're lost. But dear Christian, I want to ask you something this morning. What needs to be fixed in your life? What needs to be fixed in your life? So, preacher, I'm doing pretty good. I'm trying to live as close to him as I can. That's good. That's great. That's great. Maybe it's faith that you're struggling with this morning. Maybe it's trusting him. It don't have to be a sin problem. That we think of some kind of ungodly sin, if you let me say that, some kind of reprobate sin. Listen, that may be an issue, but listen, friend, that may not be the issue with you. You may be struggling with faith this morning and trust. I'm going to tell you, the longer you struggle with that, the harder it's going to be to serve him. There may be some things in your life that you've not gave to him. He's pointed it out to you many, many times, and you've still not gave it to him. I'm going to tell you, you really ain't going to see him move in your life like you need to until you just lay it all on the altar. What do you need to lay on the altar this morning? We need to lay on the altar. The Lord wants to help you. The Lord wants to show up in your life. I want him to show up in mine. I want him to show up in our services. Come by and help somebody, save somebody, guide somebody. There had to be a reparation. What needs to be repaired? When was the last time you exalted him? Say, Lord, I just want to thank you and praise you for what you've done. If you need to come and pray, I want you to come this morning.